Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and I am here to wish you a wonderful, splendid, holy Christmas. The day we celebrate is not yet here, but the spirit and the season of our celebration and the reason for our celebration most certainly is. So let us join in the love of Yeshua, the Christ, the Holy Spirit, our Heavenly Father, and the Blessed Mother who gave him birth into this human realm of living so that we could be more completely joined with the one who created us. So we welcome the Holy Family today, including Joseph. He was part of this celebration as well, because his faith was extreme. I'm hoping, in fact, I feel quite assured that the message I'm going to bring you today will complete the story of Christmas and answer many of your questions about its transcendent presence when it could have been accomplished in many ways for our Heavenly Father to just simply rejoin us in human form and say, hey, I'm here with you. Let's do it together. Whatever you suffer, I will suffer. Whatever you need, I will need, and so forth. But this was extraordinary, the way it was brought about and planned only by the one who created us all as the perfect fulfillment of his next plan and the next stage of his existing plan for us, the children of God. So, first of all, let's just welcome our community. We've got a full house today, and I'm so happy about that. And I bring you all of the normal human wishes of Christmas. May you be with the family. May your hearts be full of peace, love, joy, and sharing for whatever, ever level of abundance you bring into the season. That would include material presents to those you love and intangible presence of love, forgiveness, hope, and goodwill toward many of those you may never meet, but you still want to include them in your family celebration of this season. I want to thank all of you who sent me goodwill and good wishes. I read everything you send me, and unfortunately, I don't get to reply, but I want you to understand, you have a private address to me that is not publicly presented or advertised. So if you have it, I will get it. And by that, I don't mean an assistant, a secretary, or a volunteer. I mean me. It will go on my desk. And your request for a blessing will be read by me by the time we actually get in the blessing call. So, this is a contract between you and me and Christ. He knows what's in your heart just because you wrote it. There's something about writing down what you need for a prayer or healing that actually puts a seal upon it, so that you are giving it your faith, your dedication to expect response, to expect appreciation and respect. And I think that's why he actually told the apostles, ask and you shall receive, knock the door and it shall be opened. Because we cannot simply be a passive expector. I was looking for the right word. Just expecting the grace of God passively. That's a little bit presumptuous, if you don't mind me saying that. Like, well, I'm here. You know what I need. Why don't you do it for me? You see the entitled tone my voice took in saying that? He wants to see that we are in a state of request and expectation, hope and faith, in that we submit our needs to him in prayer. They come to this call with the same expectancy, the same respect, the same respect of you and your needs. And they're all not just read by me, but through my eyes, the heavenly host who need to know that you have asked. That's more than just needing. Asking is where you put yourself into the triangle of faith. Faith, hope, and love is what brings everything into manifestation. Your love is what makes it possible. Your faith is what activates it. Your hope is what conveys it. There was no miracle that Yeshua ever performed, no, that we know about, or that was ever written about, or discussed, in which he did not complete it by. Your faith has made you whole. It was partly his way of putting you in the loop so that you are part of the miracle, not just a passive recipient with expectancy, but you're there to be the love that you are that can participate in accomplishing the miracle. I am really anticipating a wonderful day with you today, a day that probably, hopefully, will initiate the spirit of Christmas as you've never felt it or known it before. And what we're going to do is begin with our study time. I hope that you had the ability and the facility to listen to the music I sent you. I wish I could get them beamed into our conference call system. The way we are subscribed right now, it's not allowed. But I sent it that you might listen, first of all, to Mary, Did You Know? It's a classic by now. It's definitely not a new piece. It's been around for a while, but it never fails to move me because it allows me to feel the wonderment, the curiosity, and the surrender that she must have felt in the days that followed her calling. How has this been done? How can it be done? What will be expected of me? What will come of it? How could she know all the questions she must have been asking? Can you just imagine or begin to imagine? And then after the child was born, can you imagine then the questions she must have had? As she held him in her arms, as she suckled him, gave him food and life. And together, she and Joseph made him safe, for they knew the sacredness of their mission. They knew that it would be not just holding, the babe in their arms, but the future of humanity in their arms. They were entrusted with one of the great powers God has ever delegated to humanity. There have been very few equal to that. And now I want to give you better understanding of that. But first, I want to read you the passages that I put together from chapter 7, which is the heart is your higher intelligence, and the blessed, the beloved, that we have been working on for a couple of Sundays so far. I looked into the beloved to prepare your time today. And I realized that almost all of the profoundly poetic quotes I could make from that chapter, I had already sent you. And I went through it and read it for a second and a third time, and all of it was so great. But I didn't want to bring didactic teaching into our closure today. Didactic means classroom type of teaching, like this is the ego, this is what it does to you, this is how you break yourself. No, this was not, there can be other days for that. But then it hit me like a hurricane from heaven. What today is all about is the heart, the sacred heart. And the minute I got that thought, I got this voice from Yeshua. And he said, did you forget what I told you once in secret about my conception that I told you never to reveal until I released it? And I said, yes, my Lord, I do remember. And he said, well, then, maybe you want to look into chapter 7 about the Sacred Heart. That's where you will find the next quote you want. And then we'll take it further. And I got really excited when he said that, and I thought, oh my goodness, what does he have in mind? I can't stand this. Anyway, I went back to chapter 7, and there it was, the perfect beginning for today. And I'm going to read it to you, which I did read it to you a few weeks ago when we were covering that particular chapter as part of our study. Here it is. The heart, which is your connecting link to God and the universe, integrates your own unique center of experience, awareness, and character with that which is beyond your comprehension. The heart is a mystery and a paradox. It is the center of each life, and yet the gateway to transcendence and higher purpose. Now, I want you to remember that particular line. We're going to refer to it big time, okay, as we go along. But continuing our reading for the day, the heart is magnetic, silent, and still. The feeling of being there is like one of resting in a peaceful heavenly lake or floating in a vacuous space. As a magnetic center, your heart is the great generator of all your life energy. And whenever you empower your heart, You raise your energy level physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Within the heart, you will also find clarity, resolve, steadfastness, intent, stillness, respect, justice, kindness, and perceptions of greatness. Love is a gift, a miracle, a mystery. You are led to its threshold by your affinities, by your inclinations, and by the yearnings of your heart. Although its power and presentation is by grace, not by expectation, demand, or requirement, love is the ultimate paradox, for it is the lamb that is also the lion. Love is the ultimate power which resides in surrender. The power of love is that it commands the zero point where time and space become one. In the eternity of divine energy and divine awareness, at this holy zero point, God is both the bird and the breeze, the trees and the land, the boat and the river, the lamb and the lion. Whenever you live within the power of your own love, you also experience that zero point, and resistance falls away. There, in the holy now, all duality is resolved into the miracle of paradox. By giving, you receive. By releasing, you attain. By forgiving, you are forgiven. By doing nothing, all is done. By surrendering, all is conquered. This only happens in the presence of love. That is why, if you give without love, you have wasted the gift. The mystery and miracle of love is that it can turn any set of opposites into a living, dynamic paradox. You cannot define love with even the largest definition, for your understanding is not external to it. Because love is who you are, you will never fully comprehend its mysteries. Because love is who God is, love is the divine mystery. Love cannot be controlled. It cannot be predicted. It cannot be enforced. It cannot be enslaved. It cannot be killed. It cannot be defined. If you would speak of the depth, the power, and the infinite genius of love, think upon its ability to end all duality. Love has no opposites. It cannot be captured, and yet it willingly serves. It is infinitely free, and yet it abides in captivity. It cannot be enforced, and yet it is the basis of all law. It is the bringer of truth, and yet it never judges. It is the seer of all things, and yet it never condemns. It conquers by surrendering. It rules by lifting up. Through its majesty of paradox, love ends all duality. And that, my friends, is almost the end of the book. Only a few more passages appropriately provide closure with one of the most magnificent messages of all time, for which I humbly was a scribe. That's all. But now, I need to transition into a continuing story about what happened after Love Without End. Well, Love Without End had not been created yet. Not even Conversations with Jesus had been created. But The Lamb and the Lion was destined to become public. Of course, when it was finished, I asked him, what should I do with this? Clearly, you did not bring this to hang on my living room wall. And he simply said, give it to my people. And where do you think my thoughts went at that point? Well, yes, your people are everywhere who are not your people. In all time and eternity, who would not be part of that destiny? How, in this world, with my limited ability, can I go from here? And he said back to me, take one step at a time. You will be guided. And indeed I was. I think I've told congregations many, many times what happened on my first excursion with that awesome painting. Meeting people from all denominations and no denominations at all, including Hasidic Jews, Muslims, Hindus, the list goes on. I have noticed in the congregation, in large congregations, little clusters of people who distinctly sat together and had different kinds of dress or head attire. And I would acknowledge them with a nod of my head and a smile. My way of saying, I'm so glad you're here. But always, I went through my many presentations knowing that the only thing they came for was him. So I had nothing to worry about. It wasn't about me. Never would be. Could not be. I was a scribe and a presenter, a welcomer, a hostess, or any other similar word you could come up with. I was just there to make it possible for them to see this painting. But invariably, people would come up to me afterwards and say, you must paint his mother. And I would always say it would be my honor if he would be kindly enough to let me be in her presence. It would be my great honor and privilege to paint her. Most of them asked to see not so much a portrait of her as a portrait of the two of them in a Madonna type of situation with him as an infant, her holding him. And I said, oh, that would be so charming. And I would even say to him, you know, I'm willing. You know I am. And he would either just nod and turn away from the subject or say something like, well, all in good time. And I would leave the subject alone. But the request never ended. And I would pray about it. I would direct my prayers to her and just say, Blessed Mother, if you ever choose to come visit me, I would love to paint your portrait. And I would usually add and say that you have been painted beautifully so many times. I don't need
to just copy what's already been done, but I will lend my talents to doing anything you would like to have done next. And we would just leave it at that. I didn't put any pressure at all, because I learned that the kingdom of heaven has its own ways, its own timing, and its very special ways of connecting with us. So I kind of still held it in my heart. I never quite let go of it, but I didn't force it. We were at a Christmas showing of the Lamb and the Lion. I've forgotten. I think it was actually, yeah, it was the same year. So it would have been 1992 in a very quaint little one-room chapel church, like a white country church with a steeple on top, you know, just the double doors in the front and the side doors, an organ up front, and a choir, a small choir, and a guitar player. And the guitar player was playing "O Holy Night." And I just went into, it seemed like a little trance. And I was thinking about the night of his birth and Mary and what she must have felt. And all of a sudden, I smelled the aroma that was eventually created as Christ sent. Because in my experience with him, every time he showed up, there was that aroma. That's why I was so devoted to learning about essential oils and creating that fragrance. But I smelled it. It was all around me. So even though everyone was in prayer, I opened my eyes and I looked toward the altar, and there he was, standing in front of me. I suppose no one else saw it, or they would have been standing up praising if they did. But anyway, I looked, and as I looked, the image regressed in age, bit by bit, until he was an infant in her arms. And I took that to be a message from him that we're ready to commission this painting. Well, of course, I was rejoicing and ecstatic and thinking to myself, oh my goodness, and I'll get to see her finally. You know, I really wanted to see her. And it disappeared, but that's okay, because I knew it would stay in my heart, just like the appearance of Yeshua the first time stayed in my heart. And it did. And I could envision it and adore it and think about how to paint it as the days went on. And actually, I did start the painting, stretch the canvas, and I thought about the spirit that I would be conveying into that painting. Well, I got a little ways into the painting. I started it pretty much on the same schedule as I did the Lamb and the Lion. I'm pretty sure we started on January the 2nd. I didn't keep a journal on that as much as I did on the Lamb and Lion, but it's in my heart, so I think it's approximately accurate to say that I started definitely in the first week of January. And I was able to paint on it for about a month. When I came to a stop, I painted pretty much the background and her clothing, and I painted the child. Had no problem painting the child, because I knew exactly what he felt like, what his presence felt like. But I was holding off on her because I needed to feel her presence and the nature of her being just a little more. And so I was just going to give it time. I knew that everything would come when I needed it, or at least I felt it would. And early in February, I was scheduled to speak at a relatively large Unity church in Irving is a large city between Fort Worth and Dallas. And this is a pretty big congregation there. And I was taking the Lamb and the Lion, of course. And it was not, we had passed Christmas Day, but we were still, we were still in the winter season, and everybody was still, celebrating the coming of Christ and the joy of being with him. And I was looking forward to being there with the painting. I still owned the painting at that time. So I got up that morning, and I was sick. I mean, I was really sick. I had fever. I had digestive upsets in both directions. And I thought, I cannot go. And I was just about to call. And submit a reason why I couldn't show, along with an apology. When Yeshua appeared, and he said, you'll be fine. Go on. You need to be there. And I was fine. I needed to be there. And I presented pretty much in my usual way. Not much new happened on different events other than the special miracles that the congregation would bring to the meeting. But I felt okay. And when it was over, a young woman came to the altar to meet me, and she was holding in her hands a rosary. And she said, I came to bring you this. She said, it's broken. And I don't know how or why it broke. She said, I'm not a member of this church. I'm a Roman Catholic. I've never been to a Unity church. But I was praying the rosary today, and the rosary broke in my hands. And I was told by the Blessed Mother that I needed to go to this church and give it to someone. And she said, you will know who when you get there. And I took the rosary. I held it in my hands. And I realized that she was giving me an apology. I couldn't imagine why. The most perfect woman who ever lived would be giving me an apology. I took it and I thanked the young woman. I held it close to my heart. I went home in my usual way, put the painting away, and I spent the rest of the afternoon praying about this. Why did I get, oh, by the way, I left out a part of the story. The young woman woke up sick that morning also, and she was praying the rosary to get well. As soon as she became well, the rosary broke, and she was told to go to this church and give the rosary to me. So there was a definite coordination of events happening here that was extremely noticeable, and all I could do was pray into it because I didn't have any answers. But I reached as far as I could toward heaven, trying to reach the arms of the Blessed Mother, trying to touch her robe, trying to see her. I ask angels to open the gateway that I could be with her, because we needed to talk. We needed to be together. This break was not, I was told that she too had experienced a break. And I couldn't live with that. The thought that I could have hurt the Blessed Mother was not acceptable to me. Well, the more I prayed, the more I discovered that I was facing a locked chamber. No one could get in. No one was allowed to see the Blessed Mother, to touch her, to affect her, to reach in, to even throw a kiss at her. No one could actually get in. And I was told by an angel that I had already been shown her human personae, which many have painted, and to whom many have received an apparition. But what I was asking was forbidden. I could not be permitted to see the essence of who she is. And she had to say no, that it was because it was not her time to step forward and reveal herself. And then I thought to myself, I must have been asking too much. But how could I have been asking too much when she volunteered to serve in that capacity? She walked with him in the public all the days of her life. She lived as a human, and she's appeared to so many. Why could I not see her in that way that I wanted to see to make this portrait extraordinary? And I just had to live with it. I had to let go of it. I went into a very deep sleep that night and woke up the next morning. Yeshua was with me when I woke up. And he said, we will give you all that we can give you for now. And I said, but my Lord, what is the mystery? And he said, the mystery is the Sacred Heart. She now embodies the Sacred Heart for all humanity. I'll let you think about that for a moment. She now embodies the Sacred Heart for all humanity. This will be revealed as the final redemption for all people. Just as she brought me from the kingdom of heaven to create the kingdom of heaven on earth, the Sacred Heart holds the promise for everyone. And I just went, oh my Lord. And I said, Yeshua, can you tell me any more? How did this happen? It must have been ordained from the beginning of time. And he said, well, it all began with my conception. I was not conceived in the womb, not even by the Holy Spirit. I was conceived in her Sacred Heart, which was created from the beginning of time. I became the primal being of my life in her sacred heart. And then when it was ready, like a drop of holy water, I was dropped into her womb, into the uterus, where I would grow into a human child. That is the sacred secret that will be fully revealed in time. And he said, but for now, you must not tell anyone, because people first need to accept their humanness and the humanness of my life. I came to be fully human. I died as fully human. And I arose to be all that you will become. When I told my apostles, whatsoever I am, you will be also and more. Because I have taken you there, where all that is in you shall be revealed. So I kind of took that to believe that our human conception will be consummated with a conception in the Holy Sacred Heart, from which the love that we are shall be fully reborn, that we may discover for the first time ever in our life who we really are. In the meantime, we live among each other, loving one another as best we can, forgiving as best we can, uniting with compassion and empathy the best we can, and loving God with all our heart. So at this moment, I just want to give thanks to the host of heaven that it has never, ever abandoned us. It has faith in us, no matter what we go through, that we are transitioning through the trials and the turbulence of life to become all that we were created to be. And God's will be done. That it has been set as a promise and held in the chambers of heaven. I was content at that point, and I proceeded to complete the painting that I called the Flame of Love, because it could refer to light in many ways. It could be the flame of love planted in Mary. It could be the flame of love that Christ is. It could be the flame of love that is in everyone, ready and called forth to shine on the mountaintop, lighting our way to a higher and better way of life. So, we say, Mary, really, did you know? No, I don't think she did, but she knows now. And she honors that by not crossing the line of her promises. And does that mean all the apparitions are fictional? No. They embody the life that she lived on earth. And simply reactivate for the faith and the comfort of those who need to be with her for their faith and comfort. And the real face we've never seen. It will be a face that is probably the feminine side of God and not yet ready to be revealed. So on this day, and going forward to Christmas Day, We simply sing the chorals of Christmas. O holy night, joy to the world. The angels sing on high. O little town of Bethlehem, and to all your favorites, whatever touches your heart, sing it with righteous love and devotion. And know that there is a greater mystery waiting to be revealed. And Mary holds that mystery for us. She's not finished being a mother. She's yet to be the rest of the mother she was created to be. So, Merry Christmas, Mary. We send our love to you. We rejoice in the holiness that surrounds you, the favor that chose you, the beauty of your life, the patience, the peace, and the forgiveness you must have for all that you've been asked to suffer. And yet, you personify the last words of Love Without End that we read today. Everything in that personifies you. You are the picture of love incarnate. So to all of you, the rest of you, everybody in this world, we wish Merry Christmas. And may everyone receive the energy of this day in whatever way you can. Because in the end, however you believe will be accepted because it carried you to the end point. The end point is all that your Father cares about. How you got here must be relevant to your life, to your circumstances, to those who share life with you. Your end point is reunion. Your end point is to fulfill the love that you are. I look forward to being with you at that point and as many points in between as the good Lord will provide. So, happy day to you. And we're just going to open our board for Christmas messages. Anything that anyone would like to add. And I think we may just quietly move toward our blessing today because we're in a very precious moment right now. And I would like to send blessings into the holiness and the preciousness of that moment. So, Nancy, the board is back with you.
It is, and it's clear and open. I think you're right. Everyone is pondering in your heart. Oh, gosh, Mary is so special. And now it makes sense, more sense. You're so magnified, Lord. You're so special.
Nancy.
Or something. We're open.
I can't hear you, Nancy.
Oh, hold on. Let me see. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I was just saying our line is open. Our board is clear. I think you're right. We just want to be in the sacred space. It's just a wonder.
We are in a sacred space, and that's our Christmas gift to you, to everyone, is to be in this space where a blessing will come that transcends all of the worldly trials and efforts that have been placed against you, that you may step to a higher ground and know more completely the love that you are. So everyone, whether you, whether you're sitting or laying down, just stretch a little bit, move your arms and your legs, and be quiet and still. Take a deep breath and blow it out. Exhale to cleanse your body and inhale again to fill your life with sacred essence. And exhale to cleanse out any darkness that might have been left behind. And now, let us just have a prayer, a quiet prayer among ourselves, silent, that I will follow with a prayer to Yeshua. Dear Yeshua, King of Heaven and Lord of the Earth, we humbly stand before you, thanking you for the magnificent gift of your life. No gift could be more precious. No joy could be greater. No transcendence could be more complete, that we should return to our beginning and to union with God. And yet, not union in anonymity, but the personhood we earned through living. For you have taught us that all things that we have must be earned. And as we live, we earn the blessings we receive, that we shall retain for all time the love that we are, the love we have given, the love that we receive. Let us hold that in our arms as the gift we have been eternally given, that we shall be welcomed into the gates of heaven, fully enrobed in the light and the joy of love, being all the love that we have known, all the love we've given, all the love we've received, and sitting before the throne of God, enabled and fulfilled to be an heir of creation. We thank you for creating that invitation to us on your birthday. Long ago. We don't know the exact night, but we know the night we celebrate. And it is holy, because it celebrates your life and the coming of your life into human form. We are humbled. We are grateful beyond words. And we receive with great happiness to be in your presence always. Let this day be a welcoming to everyone on this earth and for all, a moment of peace and rediscovery of who they are. For even a moment of rediscovery is a tiny candle lit in the dark.
We ask that you be with everyone. We ask that everyone be fed. The substance of this earth and the glory of love. We bring all the children to the altar of your life, that they may be anointed as saints for the future of humanity. May they all be blessed in a very, very special way, forever and ever. And now I ask that you accept all the requests for blessing for those who came today to your altar to receive. They are here in their faith, in their love, and in their hope to receive your love, your grace, your redemption, your transcendence, and healing for whatever their troubles may be. And we say amen, that it has already been done by the glory of your life. Now, blessing givers, will you stand and join me? Let us convey the energy of the Holy Spirit into human receivership, that all who are here may be filled with that love and that grace, and shall hold it in their being now and forevermore. And the rest of you, continue your prayer, that you may receive in prayer. Let us begin.
I'm in. I'm in. And I'm in. Your blessing has been given. Now, the next thing for you is to find a place to rest. Just lay flat, whether it's your bed or a sofa, a mat on the floor, the lawn, or anywhere else you choose, just so your body is horizontal, so that no part is above the rest, for all parts of you are equal and may equally receive the blessings given. Relax, receive, and it's okay if you fall asleep. Just let the will of God, the love of God, the grace of Spirit, and the incredible loving support of Yeshua pour through you and upon you this day and forever. Amen.